You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carter, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Bigfoot is a movie right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and we're talking to Moxon Joe. Landfall to go hell. Out in the St. John's Wall. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
It's cold outside.
And here's one for you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks.
No more Blog Talk Radio.
Boy, I'll tell you. And I'm hoping that there's no more glitches and none of that kind of crap.
Well, I'm never going to say 2 seconds left, Tom.
Thank you so much.
We stretched it as far as it needs to go.
I went up there today, and there's a whole new format, and I don't know what the hell to do. How do you get into the chat room and all that?
Same thing. The same button. Haven't changed it.
Yeah, but I know. I remember. I'm retarded.
I know. We're going to fix things up a little as we go along here. We're going to make it real simple. We're going to make a good front view, single panel, rather than have to go around all over the place.
Okay. I hear you. But, you know, I went to the old button, BigfootLiveRadioShow.com.
Yeah.
And the only thing I get is, says the radio is loading, please wait.
Yeah, well, that's the new stream.
Oh, it is?
Yes. We have now three streams, and by the end of the month, we'll have five.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, how do you get on to the... Oh, is that it on the right-hand side?
All you got to do is you can go to www.bigfootlive.com. That's the web page. The Bigfoot Radio Show, BigfootLiveRadioShow.com is the new stream, and it's just a player. It goes right up and on the player.
Okay, now, here's my thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Where do I get on to the chat room?
The chat room, you're going to get on by going to www.BigfootLive.com and then hit the chat room button.
Okay, so when I go on to this one now, I'm not getting that, am I?
No, you're not. And the reason is because we just put it up there. Probably by the next week or so, we'll have all of the things included on it.
Oh, okay. And as soon as you get on there, you can hear the show because I just tested it.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay, so that's a lot easier for our new listeners.
That's right.
That's great, Marco. Okay, super duper.
Now, we don't have a dial-in number yet.
Okay.
Again. And I'm looking forward to getting that within the next couple of weeks. We'll have a dial-in number for listeners to dial in. They do have the dial-in to listen, but I don't have a dial-in for them to ask questions.
Okay.
And we'll get that set up here soon, too.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you before we start blasting out here all over the world.
Sure.
I noticed there was a tick, 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 tick going on. Do you hear that or you don't?
No, I don't. And what that is, that's an individual. That happens when you go into a conference line or something, and it has to do with the line on your side. And all you need to do, if you get any kind of a bad noise, stuff like that, what you can do is hang up, redial in, and it usually will clear up.
Okay, well, thanks that, but it took me 11 times to get you.
No, I understand, so don't dial out. Nobody else can hear it, only you're going to hear it.
Oh, okay, good. All right. Well, listen, folks, you guys that are listening, especially for our first-time listeners, please forgive my idle chatter here. This is all new to us tonight. It's a whole new broadcast and a whole new format, so I'm not privy to it. I'm doing so much stuff out from our normal camps, and we're doing this remote. And, of course, Marco Bill is doing this stuff on his own and just runs amok, and we even talk two or three times a day. Sometimes we forget. But we got a great show, but my God, Marco, what do you think about the weather situation around this country?
My God, I'll tell you, I called around, I talked to just about everybody, including my home back in Minnesota, and, it is rough. The biggest storm in, a decade coming up. And
last night
we had wind here. Of course, it's 65 degrees, I think, or something here. So you can't say much about California, but the rest of the world is pretty bad.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I predicted this. I told everybody, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, whatever it was, 6 months ago, back in October, I says, we're going to experience the worst winter we ever have. And my gosh, there's regions of this country that's experiencing it. Just think, ladies and gentlemen, of the hard going that we've got. We're human beings, okay? Supposedly human beings. We think we got a head on our shoulders, okay? And we can weather the cold. We can weather the heat. We can weather all of the elements because we know how to take clothes off and put clothes on. We have air conditioning. We have heating. These creatures aren't as privileged as we are. Although they can think, and they're pretty damn smart because they've eluded us in excess of hundreds of years. You got to think about this. But what's going through their mind, ladies and gentlemen? Think about it for a second. When you're going down a road and you're going through a blizzard and it's a whiteout and you can't get out the next day, can't send your kids to school, you can't do any grocery shopping, you can't get out until help comes along. What happens with these creatures? Are they smart enough to forage ahead of time? Like squirrels with the acorns? Like bears when they fatten up, they take a siesta for the winter? You need to really think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Or have they migrated in time and they got away from all that? That's a real serious situation. You really need to do some thinking on this. In any event, we've got a great show ahead for you. Thank you, of course, for Marco Bill. I'm going to do a few shout-outs. Is that okay with you, Marco?
Absolutely. Our friends and family come first.
You bet. You know, I want to thank Todd Bates and his crew over at the radio station. Todd, thank you so much for the excellent show, a complete success, and we'll do some more down the line. Lee and Vi join them. Man, it was fun, you guys. Till next time. David Clare in Texas. you're a gas, man, and had a lot of fun with you. The production crew, Mike and all the guys from Missouri, job well done. Kenny in PA, how you doing, my young man? What's up down there? You guys weathering the storm, or is any action going on? If you got anything going on, give us a call. Dan Allen in Georgia, hope you're doing well, Jan. I hope you're feeling a lot better. And is there any action going on in your area? Because I don't know if you guys have experienced these terrible weathers. Chief Dan in New Mexico. How, Chief? We miss you. Ladies and gentlemen, he's true live chief from the Navajo Nation. Dave Ortiz also with Mr. Lee and all the other gang. Say hello to all of you guys, especially to Father Ray. Kathy Keller and Judy from my credit union. Boy, you guys are the best. Thank you so much. Wonderful job. Well done. Kudos to both of you. Rob Perry, Northern California. Keep up those prayers, son. Let's see what happens by the end of the week or by the beginning of next. I'm praying as you are. Susan from Minnesota, have a safe trip to Malta and Sicily, Susan. Tell me all about it when you get back. Chuck Creel and Greg Worthington. Hey, Chuck, got your messages. Talked to you briefly over the weekend. Supposedly you were off today. I thought you were going to come on, but that's okay. Did you get the vocalizations? If you did, let's hear them. If you didn't, let's hear about that also. Markster from the Executive Inn, thanks for everything, my friend. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we meet such wonderful people when we're on the road, and general managers, DOSs, director of sales of all these hotels across the country. We become friends with them, and they take care of us like you won't believe. Shaz Mohan, Chrysler dealership. You're the bomb, man. Guy that helped us out with our rig. Terry Riddell out there in Texas. Thanks for the hospitality. That's a big word. Sal Cucci in Texas. Nice place to eat, my friend. Leo Mancuso in Vegas. You're the man with a plan, Leo. Got a great family. Love meeting them. Ernie from San Jose. 92 years young, ladies and gentlemen. Got the world ahead of him. He just loves us getting out there looking for Bigfoot. Oh, here's Carl down there in Palm Springs from DeCarlo's. Great food. You guys ever get down there in Palm Springs, you need to really look him up. My girls, Becky, Connie, Frankie, Bo, Susan, Judy, Patty, and, of course, Gigi from PV. You've heard me talk about Miss Calabash. Well, I want each and every one of you guys to do a big prayer out there for me, for her. She's gotten some bad news, and we're going to get over all this, and we're going to all be in her corner. And I want her to know that she's got many, many friends and family out there, including me and all of you people out there. Kudos and salutation to all our friends around the globe.
Hey, Tom, I did tell you something before the show because I just found out. But Donna, Bruce Shields' wife's sister, of course, passed away in December. They had a memorial service this past Saturday for her. And also our good friend Alex had an operation this afternoon. Yeah, he's coming out of it.
What kind of operation did Alex have?
Yeah, they're going into, like, they're not pinching the nerves, but they I don't know, like heat them up or fry them or whatever, so they don't, intensify in the area there. They kind of, like, deaden them or something.
Oh,
they
doing one side
this week and another side next month.
Okay, well, listen, let's hope that speedy recovery for my son Alex out there in Arizona and his mama, of course, Bruce Shields' sister-in-law who passed last month. And you be careful, because I don't want to have to say any prayers about you anymore.
I'm covering my mouth when I cough on the phone here, so I don't...
Good, I'm glad to hear it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get out there to North Carolina. We're going to talk to Jerry. Remember we talked to him and discussed about the encounters and experiences, about these hair-raising things that's going on in his neck of the woods? Jerry, you out there?
Oh, yes.
How are you?
Oh, yes. Good evening to you. I'm doing fine. I'm trying to get through this crazy weather. We have one freezing day, and then one day it's like springtime.
Yeah, what's it like there now?
Today it was in the mid-60s and very sunny, and tomorrow it's supposed to be very cold and rainy.
You know, it's crazy. I talk to people all over this nation, and they're just telling me they just can't believe it. You know, one day it's 25 degrees with a wind chill factor of a minus 2. The next day they're telling me it's getting as high as 75.
Right, right. And it's really screwing with us out here. You know, we don't know what to do from one day to the next.
I hear you. Well, listen, Jerry, fill us in. What's going on out there?
Well, right now it's quiet, but I've seen the creature twice. The first time was when I was 8 years old. I had walked to my grandmother's house, and I didn't know it, but she was gone. And I went into the house, you know, in the mid-60s, everybody leaves the doors open. And I was looking for her in the house, and I started down a hallway, and there's a screen door at the end of it leading outside, and about 25 feet away is the woods that go all the way to the Broad River, because we lived on kind of a big farm. And I actually smelled it before I saw it. And just the smell, the stench is just overwhelming. And I looked up, and there it stood probably 15 feet from the doorway between me and the woods. And, you know, just, of course, being a kid, I've never heard of Bigfoot or Sasquatch or anything. And I was just paralyzed with fear, you know. And by the time my brain started functioning, you know, I cut and run. And, of course, they caught me going down the road because I was getting out of Dodge. And that evening I was trying to explain, you know, I wouldn't go back to the house, but I was trying to explain to everybody what I had saw and what I had smelled. And they were all like, oh, you're smelling a hog pen and you've seen a dog or something. And I'm like, no. This thing was huge. And the stare, the face on it, just, you know, I'll never forget that. It just burned into my memory. And finally, you know, no, of course nobody believed me. You know, here's this kid saw something, and, you know, he's nuts. And so I didn't say anything. And then a few years ago, I was about 2 miles. I still live in the same place. Actually, I live just right in the backyard of where that house is now. And about 2 years ago, I was about 2 miles from here, going to work one morning, early morning, a lonely stretch of road, and the thing walks out of the woods on the left-hand side and crosses the road, turns and looks at me, and by the time I'm stopped, I'm probably 50 yards away. Keeps walking. It never misses a beat. Through a field back into the woods, and then I got closer, you know, and I could smell it again, and my hair just stood on end. But I never told anybody. I was just real reluctant to even speak about it. And I couldn't hardly believe what I saw. I was just shocked. And until recently, some friends were talking about going down that same stretch of road and seeing the creature and describing him, you know, how tall he was, how hairy he was, and with a pointed head. And the only thing I missed was the smell on, you know, them. And I told them, you know, I saw something there, too. And we got to comparing notes. And up until as recent as last September, I've heard it and smelled it, you know, here close to my house because I still live in the edge of these woods. And I've heard it several occasions, you know, since childhood till now. And I think what's happening is they're migrating up and down the Broad River Basin in this area. You know, following the food source in the water. Of course, from the smell, I doubt you ever get in the water. But just to hear one of those things holler, especially during the night, it's just nerve-wracking. You know, it's just a human fear of the unknown.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, it gets to the point with me that I watch these programs, Jerry, you know, Monster Quest and on the History Channel and all these other things of these people going out and looking for Bigfoot.
Right.
After a while, I get tired of watching them because they all come up with the same thing. You know what that is?
What's that?
Nothing. They all come up with nothing. Okay, Jerry? And I've been there, done that. I know what's coming down the pike. I know what the climax is going to be. I know what the ending is going to be, and it bores me. Okay? That's why when I hear these people and they give us accolades of our movie, Bigfoot Lives, about our new movie, The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, And in the next 60 days, our other one is going to be coming out. It's called Bigfoot Lives 2. My gosh, you know, we're all over the country. And we're out there because people like you asked us to come out. And all we're putting on film are the actual accounts, what you people see, what your brother and your sister and see, what they all see, what they've heard. I'm tired of watching all of these dull movies. I can't wait myself to hear each Wednesday, to hear people like you tell of your experiences, because it's real, it's true. You experienced it, didn't you, Jerry?
Oh, yes. And one thing that really shocked me just recently, my father was diagnosed last year with a terminal illness, and he's never spoke about this thing at all. And just one day out of the blue here recently, he sits down and he starts talking to me about his childhood, which he just doesn't talk about it. And he says, you know, this was my grandmother's house and I grew up here. And he says, you know, I saw something here in 1946. And I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, I saw that creature come out of the woods and walk by the window. And I looked at, you know, it made me feel better because deep down I knew he believed me. And he had saw it too, but he never would talk about it.
And you know why, Jerry? I'll tell you why. Because he's from the old school as I'm from the old school. You know, you want to hear about the real encounters, you go and rent or buy, I don't even know if you can do it anymore, Legend of Boggy Creek. That movie did tons. And you know why? It was based on reality. Charlie Pierce, met him, great guy, and all the other guys that were in the movie, okay, met them. And people don't realize, they have no clue what it's all about. You know, they all go to an internet. Everybody goes to the internet today. And you know, I'll tell you straight up, the internet is pretty powerful, pretty big. But you know what? The internet can't experience what you experience or what your daddy experienced. Don't ever forget that, Jerry.
One thing that I'd really like to see is, you know, this mentality of a lot of people, you mention it, and the first thing they want to do is go kill it. And I'd like to see somebody working in ex-government in the environmental field and working in a lab some, I would like to see somebody capture it, get some samples, get some real scientific data. You know, there are new species discovered every day. You know, this could be something, if we go out and kill everyone, you know, it could be like the carrier pigeon. You know, it'll be gone forever.
You know, I totally agree with you. But until you get out there and start tracking these things, hunt for these things, it is so tough. They move so quickly in terrain that's so inaccessible to man. You have no clue, Jerry. But you know what? I hope next time that I'm in North Carolina, I give you a jingle, you come out and go with us. All right?
All right, that's the deal.
Listen, you stay warm during these cold spells and mute yourself out there. We got a lot more show ahead of us, okay?
All right.
Thanks for sharing your story with us, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the call.
And, Jerry, just hit star 6, and that'll mute you up.
Okay, I'm going to get off because I've got the kids and I've got to get ready for school tomorrow.
No problem. So, take care, Jerry.
Single parent and all. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye, Jerry. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jerry from North Carolina. You know what? Let's go pay some bills. Let's go to a commercial.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom. And Leroy, hit your star 7 button.
That's the first time, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that advertisement for the Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. I'm telling you, this movie is going to turn heads. You're going to hear about it more and more, more and more. You can order it on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to our store, Shopping for Bigfoot. You'll see it. You'll see it right on the front there. Amazon.com, just access, please. We want it so badly. And by the way, in the next 60 days, you'll also see Bigfoot Lives Too. The other side of the Anatomy Bigfoot Hoax. All those questions that you had will be answered now. A great, great flick. Let's get out there. I understand that Leroy, he's moved from Ohio, huh?
Yes.
Okay, was that you, Leroy?
Yes, it's me, Tom.
How are you, good buddy?
All right, how you doing?
Where are you living now?
I live in Cynthiana, Kentucky.
Kentucky, huh?
Yep.
How's the weather down there?
It's been very windy today, very windy.
How cold is it?
Well, right now it's like 22 degrees.
22 degrees. Wow. Well, listen, I'm enthralled. I got your emails. I can't believe that the work that you're doing. Has anybody picked up on all these stories and on how you've debunked them all?
No, not really. I mean, I get a lot of bad comments. That's about it. Because a lot of people can't believe that after all these years, can one person find all this stuff? But hey, I just take my time and just go over one frame at a time.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you mention your website so they can all go there and see what we're talking about?
Okay, right now I'm starting a new website. It's called Histories and Mysteries. And on that site, I'm going to have my complete research on the Patterson and Gimlin film, my complete research on the JFK assassination, the Zodiac Killer, and also Bigfoot in the Bible. And that website is blevinsbi.webs.com/.
You know, I got to tell you something. I got into a conversation the other day, and it was amazing. And I told him about the Vatican, about the Sistine Chapel, about where it showed a human, a monster, and a Bigfoot. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the one that Michelangelo.
That's correct. That's correct. And so this Monsignor says to me, "Oh, no, my son, that's not a Bigfoot." I said, "So what is it, Monsignor?" And he says, "Well, I really don't know, but I'll get back to you." And I still haven't heard from him. What do you say it is?
It's an Edomite.
Now, what is an Edomite?
Edomite is a descendant from Eshu, which was a grandson of Abraham. And he was born with fur to actually cover his body. A lot of people think it was like body hair or anything like that. But when Jacob took the birthright from Eshu, that's which he became the first Edomite. Then the fool Jacob's father, which is Isaac, they had to place the kid's goat's fur on his arms and his neck. And that explains what kind of fur that was actually on Eshu. Well, Eshu lived in the woods, in the fields, and he had a smell. Same as your actual Bigfoots that you see today. That's what got me started like 9 years ago when I seen a Bigfoot. An actual Bigfoot was like 20 to 25 feet away from me when we was coming home from work. That's when I started doing research on where they came from, where the start of them. So when I start going over through the Bible, and I start reading up on Eshu, and then I'm looking at the Edomites, so where they lived at, Needham, and I start matching up, excuse me, the cave cities that they lived there is also found here in the United States. And they was very good trackers and hunters. It was just a different breed of people that over 3,000 years ago that the Romans killed off. But they did not kill the children or the women. Well, the children and women scattered out, and no one's never seen them since then.
Wow. Wow. Now, where do you reference all your material and knowledge? Where are you getting it all from?
Well, on my research on the Bible, I go to the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, which explains in detail if you actually, okay, when you read the Bible, you can read one verse, and then you go on and read a bunch more verses, but then it'll pick up in another verse. And what you have to do is you have to go through it one at a time and just category it together and just add it all together, and you can read it just like Eshu had a bitter cry. So they also make a bitter cry when they're upset. And then when I started going through detail of generation to generation, that's when I found out that the Edomites were killed off, most of them, the males, because the Romans was very scared of them because they looked different than we did. They had hair to cover the complete body, and they were very well trackers and hunters. So the Romans got scared of them, and they took most of the Edomites out except for the females and the children, and that's when they started spreading all over the place.
Wow. Well, you know, and I got to tell you something. I was with a bunch of people, and I referenced your work, and they did the JFK assassination. You are an amazing man, my friend. I don't know how you get the time, number one. And number two, you are probably one of the most intelligent people I've ever known. You have come up with some beliefs and some analyzations that you've done down the line that just totally, totally blows my mind. I'm in shock at times, and it's an honor to have you on our show, and it's an honor to talk with someone of your intellect and intelligence. There are people that differ with me and say I'm not sound because I don't know you. I don't think they know you neither, because if they knew you, they would believe in what you're doing and the research that you've been coming up with. All I can tell you is keep it going, son. You're doing a hell of a job.
Well, thank you, Tom. I really do appreciate that.
And listen, whenever the time that gets that it's dim, always know that the light is even brighter around the corner. I'm going to pray for you. You have a wonderful time. Thanks for sharing some of your stories. We'll look for you down the line. Just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show.
All right. Thanks, Tom. You all have a nice night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Steve Levins. You heard me talk about him. The guy's a superstar. Got to see some of his work. It's just totally amazing. Without any further ado, we're going to go out back to Texas. Foss, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. You've seen what we found out there.
We met Lisa, hit your star 7 button.
We met some great people there, and it was all because of Lisa. Lisa is one hell of a gal, her and her wonderful family, and gosh knows how many friends we made when we were there. Lisa, you out there?
Yes, I'm here, Tom.
Hi, you feeling better, I hope?
Yes.
Okay. I know that you're a little under the weather. First off, did you ever get the DNA analysis back?
No, we haven't heard a thing yet.
My God, how long has that been now? 3 months?
Almost, yes.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, really getting worried about it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'll tell you what, we've come up with some new stuff thanks to a couple of new people that's in our barn.
Uh-huh.
Just waiting for these hair samples. We're going to get a prelim tonight from Mitch on some of the stuff that I sent it out to two different places, and Mitch is going to tell us what he found thus far. And what's going on over there? How cold has it been, first off?
Well, last night we were in the single digits with wind chills down to -3.
Well, and I believe it. It's crazy. You know, it's crazy. Oklahoma, I understand, was snowed under and all that. Did you get any snow yet?
In my particular area, we got mainly just ice. But a little further west and north, they got the snow and ice. So.
I hear you. Is there any action going on down there by you?
Oh, absolutely. It hasn't stopped. Of course, you know, we have days that, you know, that kind of lag, but there's always, you can always hear something going on out here. And, you know, pretty frequently my, you know, non-believer nephew comes out and, you know, the skeptic that's no longer skeptic.
Yep, yep.
He is a junkie now. He's got to come out all the time. And let's do it. And okay. So,
is that the guy from the store?
No. This one was from Italy. Christopher.
Oh.
Yeah, no, those were just people up in town. The one from the store.
Yeah. Wow.
But, yeah, here recently, a couple weeks ago, Christopher had come out, and we were just standing outside the carport here, just out the kitchen door, and started our usual calls. And, of course, immediately we were getting answers back, you know, whistles and calls and things back at us. And I had a camera set up out back, a game cam, in the backyard. And then I had one set up in the side yard next to us. And we heard them start coming over the fence in the back, you know, between here and the next house over.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher got scared. And he wanted to go back in. I said, oh, no, I'm being brave, and so were you. You wanted this. You're getting it. And we could hear them walking in the backyard. And then the camera started flashing. We could see the flash from the camera start going off. And he, again, wanted to go in. I'm like, oh, no, you're not. and then we heard one walk up to the back door of the carport. And he really got nervous then. And I'm like, no, Christopher Dale, you're staying right here with me. We're going to see one. And we just kept talking like we didn't hear it come up. And, you know, he's real close to the door, and he's getting his back up on the door. And I told him, no, you're not going in, you know. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear these two deep, big, loud sniffs. And, boy, he really got scared then and tried to go in. And I said, no, you're not. We're going to stand right here. Dang it, I'm trying to suck it up and be brave, and so are you. So, anyway, he stood there, and when we could hear it, it started kind of walking around the side like it was going to come around to the open face front where we were at. But then it stopped like it was listening to us talk, and we just kept on talking. And, boy, Christopher just kept telling me how nervous and scared he was. He said he was about ready to piss his pants. He was so scared. And I told him I didn't care. And anyway, to make a long story short, I ended up breaking down, and we went ahead and come back in so he can gain his composure. And we'd only been in the house maybe 5 minutes or so, and his wife pulled up. And then, you know, we had to go back out and walk her in. So we did that and stood in there for a few more minutes, and Christopher was ready to go back outside. So we went back out, stood in the same area right there in that carport, the three of us. And he went to telling her what was happening. And we were still seeing the game cam flashing in the backyard, too. And about that time, across the street, in those woods, directly at the end of the driveway, across the street, just this god-awful scream. And then the others chimed in and started doing screams and just various noises. And, of course, them two tried to run into the house, and I said, no, y'all got to stay here. Don't let them see that we're scared of them. We got to stand strong. And so they stood there with me and just kept on talking. And then next thing you hear, and don't laugh, but you could hear one peeing in the front yard. I mean, just plain as day. You could hear it urinating in the front yard. And it was loud. And, of course, Christopher scared him, but at the same time, he went to laughing about it. And, you know, then we were all laughing, and we couldn't believe that this thing was in the front yard doing this. Of course, I asked him, you want to go around there and see? Well, he didn't want to go around and see. But anyway, so after a few minutes, we wanted to come inside, so we just came back in because at this point, it was like probably 3 in the morning at this point. And we still had kids, you know, take care of. So anyway, we got up the next morning and had 27 pictures, I believe it was, on one game cam, but we didn't get anything. It looks like there may be a couple eye shines in the distance across the woods, but that's about it. So, And that was the biggest thing that's happened within the last couple weeks. And then that was on a weekend, and then just a couple of days after that happened, it was during a weekday. I don't let my chihuahua out anymore after dark. Once dark hits, you don't get to go outside and potty. And so it was right before dark, probably around about 6 one evening, during the weekday, and me and Desiree, my youngest, was standing out there with her and waiting for her to potty and everything, and we hear a whoop. And it kind of shocked me that I heard a whoop during the daylight hours like that, because that's the first. And I started looking because I could see, or not see, but hear that it came from some trees on the other side of the pastures behind the house. And plus that cow dog took off running towards one end of the field. So I thought, oh, he's running towards where the whoop came from. So I'm looking, I'm watching him. And I'm watching the tree line, and I'm, you know, skating the tree line, looking. But what it was the dog was gathering the cows up. And so I'm thinking, and then we heard it whoop again. And I said, no, it's out there somewhere. So I'm looking across the trees. And about that time, I decided to whoop back. Well, when I did, just as I whooped, I see it. He's coming across the field. And just as I whoop, I see him, and he hears me, and he drops down. He squats down. The grass is probably about thigh high. And he squats down in the grass where all I could see is, like, from his chest and up. And he's looking straight at us. And I'm looking. I don't want to take my eyes off of him, and I'm trying to follow him, but it's getting dark quick. And, of course, Sissy's like, Mama, is that one? Is that? I'm like, yes, sis, that's one. And we're not losing. I guess he gets down on his stomach. And there was a cow probably about 20 feet from him. And the cow looks back and down on the ground. And then the cow takes off. And so I thought, he's belly crawling. I don't know where he's going, but we've lost him. I'm not going to see him again. It's getting dark quick. And so I just went on in the house. But the deal with him was he wasn't a big one. He looked like he might have been maybe 6 foot tall. He wasn't very humongous. And he only had, the hair color was a bright reddish brown. So I guess that's what you call a young one.
Let me ask you this. Where did he urinate?
In the front yard.
In your front yard. Do you know exactly where?
It sounded like it was right there in between the two pecan trees that are up front.
Okay, now I know that area.
Mm-hmm.
Why he did that?
What?
He marked his territory.
Oh, yeah. Because we've also been finding scat in the yard, which we hadn't been finding, and that's why I say, I guess they've decided that our yard is their territory now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we've been finding scat in the yard.
Listen, you got some exciting stuff going on. Keep us apprised. And why don't you give the people at the DNA house or your friend a call and find out what's going on with the scat?
Well, we have been, but we're not getting a reply back.
They're not returning your calls?
Right.
Not a good sign, honey. Not a good sign.
Well, why is that? Can you tell me over there?
Well, no. What the story is, first of all, you've trusted that evidence and samples to, I suppose, a good firm or a good person. Now, why in the world wouldn't they be calling you back, returning your call?
I know it. Well, probably because they found it and they don't want to share their information. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
But we keep trying, and we're, you know.
You know, when you've exhausted all your resources, I'll get involved and see what I can do to help.
Well, we're not. Well, now, I didn't totally see them everything, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I kept parts of that, you know. And like I said, we keep hoping maybe any day now we'll get the word on what that is.
Okay, well, as soon as it comes in, if that any day comes, please let us know.
Okay, yeah. I post on AskCrow. I blog there myself.
Okay.
And I do a lot of things that go on around here. I update on that a lot, or at least the larger things that I find. You know, some of the small stuff I don't necessarily post on there, but you know, if you don't hear from us or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to see if Marco can do a blog on ours where these people can talk back and forth. I don't know why. We should have done it 5 years ago ahead of the game than everybody else, but I guess we're just Johnny come lately. What do you think, Marco?
I don't know. I got to take a look at it, Tom.
No, I'm hearing all these people, they got blogs, you know. Timmy Fasano's got a blog. Ascro, Alex has a blog. Why shouldn't we have a blog and let people
We got a podcast on the blog. We can get another blog.
Well, you know, let them know about how to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We should do that. Listen, Liz, God bless. Say hello to the family. Kiss the kids. Mute yourself out. We got a lot more show ahead of us.
All righty.
Thanks again. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lisa Grubin up there in the process. Hell of a gal. I love her family. Love her kids. Let's go to commercial.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years. Say it's not you.
Bigfoot lives in a movie
right
now at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Andrew, back to you, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me say it each and every week, Bigfoot Lives, the most informative Bigfoot documentary out there. I don't care, bar none. Forget about the scientific part. That doesn't do me any good, all right? I happened to listen to one of these shows today, and I watched it, and at one point it got my interest. And then I knew what the climax was going to be. I knew what the ending was going to be. Beautiful thing about our movies, ladies and gentlemen, we bring it to you as we see it. The people tell you what they saw, what they experienced. We don't put words in their mouth. You're going to see it like we see it, when we see it, how we see it. That's the difference between us and these other places. Bigfoot Lives. You haven't seen it, get it. Go on our website. Go on to the stores, shop for Bigfoot there. Go on Amazon.com, FilmBaby.com, Netflix. You can view it there on your computer, the whole nine yards. The new Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, ladies and gentlemen, it's out. It's there for you to peruse. It answers all the questions you ever had. And if you ever saw the first one, you need to get the second one, because this one here will blow your minds, and the saga still continues. And within the next 2 months, Bigfoot Lives 2 will be out, and you guys will blow your minds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there and see my brother from another mother out there in AZ, Arizona, Mr. Mitch Waite. How are you, young man?
Star 7, Mitch. Oh, I've been busy with those hairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mitch Waite. You know, I've had the honor and pleasure of meeting him back in November. Brought me to his catch, his bevy of treasures up in those mountains up on the Mogollon Rim. And I've got to tell you, probably one of the best researchers I've met in a long time. Not just that he does the job, but he's a techie, and he's a DNA guy, and he knows what he's doing. I had some hair samples sent to me. I sent them out to DNA House, and the others I sent out to him. And I says, look, I need your help on this, boss. Tell me what you find. Without any further ado, go into it. Tell us what you found.
Okay, you send me quite a few hairs, but I had to destroy one of them. I did a burn test, And what I was trying to do is make sure that it wasn't synthetic. You know, if it burns like hair and it smells like hair. And when you burn hair, it leaves a little black ball at the very end of it. And then you rub that in your fingers and it turns to powder. With synthetic, it's a hard ball. Well, your hair turns into powder, so it's a hair.
Okay, that's step one, and you did a good job. Okay. What's
other things, other likenesses? You can twirl the hair in your between your fingers, and you can feel that it's oval. It's not round.
Mm-hmm.
Which is generally an indication, again, that it's a hair and not synthetic. And it's common to primates to have oval hair like that. The only problem is with that hair is it's very black. It's very solid. It's not opaque. So I'm having troubles locating the medulla, if there's any, and any scaling. I did some scale casting, and that came out inconclusive, so I've got to redo that. However, I'm not able to find any medulla either, which is typical of Bigfoot hair. Most usually they don't have medullas. And a little thing that most people don't realize is if you don't have medulla, you probably won't get DNA on a DNA test.
And now, for my listeners out there that don't know what the medulla is, let me see if I know or refresh my memory. Isn't that the end part where it comes out of the scalp?
Actually, that's the root. The medulla is the center core. It's kind of like the soft center or balsa part of a plant in the very center.
Hmm.
And it runs through the hair. Some humans have it, some humans don't. Most Bigfoots don't. and most of the rest of the animals do have a medulla.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this, okay? Most animals have it, but the big feet don't?
Right.
Okay, can you find it in these hairs?
Not yet. I'm still working on trying to get a transparent enough hair to be able to look through it to see if there's a medulla in there. And one of the things I'm going to be trying to do is bleach the hair because it's so black.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take one of the hairs and bleach it so that it's more opaque and maybe I can see through it a little bit easier.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I appreciate what you're doing. So if you were to classify the hairs, have you seen it now thus far? What are we at? Still studying? What do you say?
I still got a couple of tests to do. I'm doing a cross-section measurement where I'm going to go in and measure the hair, about 15 different hairs, and the diameter of them, and then take an average of that and then compare that to Bigfoot hair, which should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 microns to 90 microns.
64 to 60 microns.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Bigfoot hairs?
That's about what they range, yes.
Okay, fantastic. Why don't you let us know what's going on up in your area right now?
It's snap cold. It's blowing cold. And it's just all, I'm down here in my basement, and I had to put on two pairs of socks just to keep my feet warm. And that's here in Arizona.
Yeah, and the thing that's getting you, and I know it, I can tell you right now, those things, whatever elevation they were at, they've gone down. Either that or they're honkering down on the ground somewhere. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I believe so. And I believe they're using caves, because that's a pretty temperature inside of a cave if you can get far enough back in, or an old mine shaft. And Arizona's full of old mine shafts.
I know, without a doubt. Well, listen, keep up that great work. Anything that pops up, don't hesitate to give me a call. Stay tuned. We're going to go up to the northern part of the country and talk to my brother, Bruce. Thank you so much, Mitch. God bless you, and keep me informed.
Okay, will do.
Tom, Mitch has a link up on www.bigfootlive.com, and it's his power grid that he used for his for his command center, and it's something to take a look at. It's got a lot of good ideas, not just for the command center, but for other applications.
Oh, good. Talk about that for about a minute and a half. I'm going to go get some reference material, and then talk about that, and then bring on Bruce, and I'll be back in about a minute and a half.
You got it?
Okay. You want me to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Basically, there are two types of inverters. One is a regular inverter that will change DC voltage into household current, 110 volts. And that's usually what I use for the command center. But they also make what's called a grid tie inverter, which allows you to take from your solar panels and plug it right into your house. And if you're generating enough or more power than what your house is using, it'll run your meter backwards.
What do you need to know?
Yeah. So I've been I've hooked into my solar panels into my solar farm in my backyard. I have 405 watts in my backyard and another 300 watts on the roof, and they come down and feed a grid tie inverter, which really reduces my electric bill.
Hey, yeah, that's pretty good. Really neat. Well, there's a video up there, and it has a link to it, and it shows everything that you put together there, Mitch. And I'll keep it up there, and I'll put it on your page.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you so much for coming on.
You betcha.
You can hit your *6 button. And we go out there to Montana, to the Blackfeet Reservation, to our good friend, Bruce. Bruce, can you hit your *7 button? Are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hey, Bruce. Tom will be right back. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good.
Okay, but guys, I'm back. Hello, Brother Bruce. How are you?
Oh, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well. How cold is it up there?
Oh, it warmed up to about 40 below.
40 below. Get a load of that, ladies and gentlemen. 40 below zero. Unbelievable.
It was so cold, I had to bring my thermometer in and thaw it out so it would work.
You know, I got to tell you, first off, with all kidding aside, please accept our condolences with the loss in the family. Our prayers go out to you, all the family members, and, of course, everybody there on the res. What's going on with the cold out there on the res with considering the situation with Bigfoot?
Tom, the weather's been so bad that we've just been kind of snowed in, and we can't get out. But the last time I heard, I was in town, and there was a guy that showed me a picture on his cell phone, and there was some Bigfoot tracks walking down the road down by Star School below Hiram's place. But that's their travel pattern, I believe, because that's where Hiram seen him, his wife seen him, and that dog drug that carcass out of the river there. And I haven't got no real news, but last fall, me and Donna were four-wheeling, and along where we seen this seen these two dark figures we took a picture of, and we were following this trail down there, and about, I'd say Donna's about 5'2", and it was just about head level with her. We found this ball of fur. It's kind of a light brown-looking fur, and that high up in the trees were hanging over the trail, and that ball of fur was in the trees above the trail, and we got that ball of fur at the house here, and outside of that, I don't know. We haven't been out. It's we have a hard time just, you know, getting to the road. So, and I haven't heard any new stories, but I really haven't been anywhere either, just to work and back.
Who took over Puggy's place?
Tony Sitzman.
Tony did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, he took over both stores, C store and the town, or P&M.
Wow, wow. No, I said I'm going to be coming up there, and, you know, one thing or another, you know, I don't get up there, but I'll tell you what, the first thaw, that's going to be the place to be, and I'll be there, okay? I'll be there, trust me. Listen, we're on the top of the hour. God love you guys. Kisses to the kids and the wife. Say hello to everybody when you get out there and, you know, digging yourself out. I miss you guys.
Okay, God bless you, Tom, and thanks for the kind words, and we'll be waiting.
Be well. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Change the...
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold, and a promise to the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before.